lot of other people when you didn't have a chance to turn the lights on and see what was going on. So we're reminded how hard it is without light and how much we need light. But as this verse shows, the world is in darkness. The world is in need of light. But we who know Christ Jesus as our Savior, we are the light, and we are to share it. So out of this verse, I'm going to want to look at the light, the likeness, and the Lord. But first, if you're there in Matthew and if you're able, would you stand with me for the reading of God's word as we read this verse together? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the light that has come to us by the gospel and for the opportunity to be light for you. Please help us to be faithful in that. Please guide me to speak only your truth this time and teach it to our hearts by your Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So tonight, this is a baptismal service. We're celebrating the ordinance of baptism, which is a physical act, which is a public display of faith in Jesus Christ. It's an opportunity to show the world, I've placed my faith in Jesus. But baptism, true baptism, is something you do once. What do we do for the rest of our lives, for our Christian lives? How do we show the world our faith? Well, it's by fulfilling the will of the Father, living it out, doing good, as this verse talks about, and really how we talked about this morning. But all of this, the things we do, it's not for our benefit. It's not so we receive praise. Everything we do as a believer ought to be to deflect that glory up to the Father. So first, the light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Let your light so shine before men. This is an imperative. This is a command. And if you have a red letter Bible, you see it's in red. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. This is from the very lips of Christ. But we're talking about good works here. And we know that any good work is ultimately impossible on our own. In our own sinful nature and strength, we can't consistently live a good life. We're talking about light here. We don't have light in ourselves, but the Bible clearly tells us where light comes from. John 1:5, speaking of Christ the Word, it says that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In coming to earth, the incarnation, Jesus shone light into the world. Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He came into darkness. The world was and is in darkness because it's under the curse, because we live in a fallen world. And as things go on in the world, it's easier and easier to recognize that you don't really have to convince people there's sin in the world. You don't have to convince people there's wrong in the world. It's simple for all to see. And it's easy for people to say, oh yes, there's wrong in the world, but we don't like it so much we get personal about that and say that we're what's wrong in the world. We are a contributing factor to that. We are sinners. We are wicked. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, we read it this morning, but I want to read it again. Paul, speaking to these Ephesian believers, he says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. We are all born not only just into darkness, and that's a mistake we can't make, that we just think, oh, woe is everybody, that they're just under this curse. No, we contribute to it because we have opportunity. We are sinners not only by birth, but by choice. So we are darkness, but we have opportunity to be transformed into light, to shine. But as the Bible makes clear, in order to become light, we need to first recognize our darkness. We need to recognize the problem that we are sinners, that we are totally unable to please God on our own. We cannot save ourselves. And we receive salvation by faith alone. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're baptizing tonight, but that has absolutely nothing as far as contributing to salvation. It's in light of the salvation these people have expressed in their testimony. Church membership, all these things, they don't contribute. They are in light of the salvation. But we talked this morning that when the Bible talks about salvation in the Greek, it uses either that or aorist or present or aorist or perfect tense, because it's a point in time. Salvation isn't a process that you're working towards and hopefully going to get there someday. At a point in time, you put faith in Jesus Christ, and then you are transformed. You are translated from darkness into the kingdom of light. We become light. And then once you are light, once you've trusted Christ Jesus as your Savior, then you are to let your light shine. You have the light of God. You become light. As I shared this morning, if you will, we are the moon. Christ is the ultimate source of all light, but we are a reflection of his light into the world. We have the Holy Spirit within us that shines. What's the purpose of light? Why do we turn lights on? To see, to shine, to illuminate things. Well, that's our purpose. That is your duty. The command of Christ is to let your light shine, to be visible, and to illuminate other things. Jesus, he wants us to stand out as light. He wants us to show that there is a change made in our lives. And I talked to these folks about baptism. That was something that came up in several. The change, the transference from bondage to sin to victory through Jesus Christ. We want to share what Christ has given us. Again, I mentioned this morning we have the inheritance of the kingdom, but the inheritance of Christ is the one inheritance that it doesn't get smaller the more people that get it. If somebody dies, you want minimal number of cousins so you get the biggest slice, right? But the kingdom of God, the more people are in, the more glorious it is, and you don't lose anything by more people being part of it. So we want to share that inheritance. We have the salvation. It's a spiritual change. As I talk to people, especially I talk to children, I say, you don't just turn green or something like that when you get saved that everybody sees, oh, okay, there's something different. It's an internal change. It's a spiritual change. That's why the Lord has given us physical ordinances like baptism to be an external illumination, an external display of the internal work that he has done for us. The same is here with shining our light. It's not to be saved, but it's God's chosen method to show that the change has taken place in our lives, that now we have Christ's light instead of the world's darkness. Again, as John 1:4 says, the light is the life. The life of Christ is the light of men. So our calling is to shine upon people. Let your light so shine before men. Well, so it's saying in this way, let it shine. How? Well, then we go back to verses 14 and 15, what Christ has already laid out, giving some physical examples. Verse 14, ye are the light of the world. Stop there a moment. Christ said, while I am on earth, I am the light of the world. He was the light of the world during his earthly ministry. In Revelation, New Jerusalem, he is the light there. We have no need for sun and moon. But in the meantime, when Christ is not physically on the world, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So how are we supposed to let our light shine? Well, like a city on a hill. And from a literal standpoint, there's many advantages to having a city on a hill. It's more defensible. It's better drainage. There's a lot of good things, but then you can't hide. Everybody's going to see if your city's fallen down and dilapidated. It's very, very visible. It's conspicuous for better or for worse. Well, that's supposed to be our light, our life. It's conspicuous. Do we want it to be in a positive way that the light is shining or that our flaws are conspicuous? Then the candle. You don't put it under a bushel. You don't hide it under a basket because that hides the light. But also, does a flame burn well underneath a bushel basket? No, it's going to sputter and flicker. But when you let it out, then it grows. That's to be our light. Not only do we benefit in shining the light, but our light is going to be healthier and it's going to grow as we use it and as we shine it. So we want to put our light on a candlestick, the place of greatest visibility and usefulness. And I think of it, I usually thought of it kind of like a great big candlestick that sits in the corner of a room, but as I studied this, now I think of it more. If you think of like an old-time show or movie where somebody gets woken in the middle of the night and got their cap on and they've got that little ring candlestick to light, well, that's what we need to be in the hand of God, that candlestick that God's going to take where it's needed most, that God's going to take you. Because if you know Christ is your Savior, God has a calling in your life. God has a purpose in your life. And so we want to be set up on a candlestick, but not so we just set up in a room and illuminate it whether anybody's there or not, but one that can be moved, that God can take us where he needs us. So we want to go where we're called and designed to go. So we have the light. We need to let it shine. The likeness, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. They see our good works by making our light shine. Our light makes visible the good works that we do in the service of the Lord. And the idea of works here, that's not saying that's in exclusion of our words or anything. Works is the whole habit of life. Your word, your deed, your attitude. Not just what you do, but how you go about it, with a grump or with a smile. Our light will illuminate that. And it's in the present tense. These are the present tense. This is day after day. Letting our light shine. Think of Matthew 6:10 in the Lord's Prayer. What do we say? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's a theme that's come up in several messages, that doing God's will is a little piece of heaven on earth. Well, that's our light shining, us participating in that as he directs. What are the things that we know are God's will? Evangelism, Matthew 28:19, where we're supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Prayer and praise of the Lord in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 to 18. Sanctification and abstaining from wickedness in 1 Thessalonians 4:3. True acts of love and charity. I think of Paul speaking in 1 Corinthians 13:1 to 3, and he talks about all kinds of great things he could do. He could speak great words. He could give things to the poor. He could sacrifice his body. But he says, if I'm not doing it out of love of the Lord, it's nothing. And that's what separates true good works. It's not just outward performance, but it's truly out of selfless love. So these are the good works it's talking about here. We're in the conclusion of the Beatitudes, part of the Sermon on the Mount. That's talking about the kingdom of heaven. And so I think of these good works we do, those are kingdom deeds. That's living out the kingdom of God. As we talked this morning, yes, we look forward to the physical kingdom on earth, but we are in the kingdom now if we know Christ Jesus as Savior. So we are supposed to live out our citizenship. Wisdom was just talking about having citizenship and visas from one place to another. Well, if we know Christ as Savior, our citizenship is in heaven. We're on a visa here to earth for however long God lets us here, but we need to reflect our heritage. We need to reflect our citizenship of heaven, of the kingdom. So these good works, that's what's going to characterize the whole world when Christ reigns. And isn't that going to be marvelous and glorious? But we have an opportunity to make that part of our life today, to shine that light to the world now. But what is the ultimate source of good? It's God. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Anything good in our lives, either that happens to us or we do, is strictly from God. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 19 and verse 17. As the rich young ruler approaches the Lord, we see what Christ says to him. Back up to verse 16. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, that's Christ speaking to the rich young ruler, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God, but if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And Christ goes on, of course, with him and shows it's not just outward observance, but it's the heart. But nobody is truly good except God. People who don't know the Lord, you talk about heaven, and they think, maybe I'm good enough. You know, there's no such thing as good enough in the human way. It's God is the only good. So if we're doing good works, out of what the Father has given us as believers, we're imitating the Father. If we're doing good works, we are living up to our name, Christian, little Christ. Christ was the light of the world, and now we are the light of the world. So we should shine like he did. What did Christ do? Now, obviously, we're not going around quite like he did, doing miracles, casting out devils, that sort of thing. And we pay a lot of attention to that, but most of the time, Christ was preaching. Christ was sharing the gospel, sharing the needs of people, helping people with their physical needs. That's how we live like Christ. And since God is the one who is good, he's going to be the one that sets the standard for good. And God's standard of good is sometimes going to differ from the world's. God's standard of good is going to entail telling people of their sin, telling them uncomfortable truths. The world's not going to like that. But we follow God rather than man. We use his standards. So we want the world to see these good works. It's to have other people see them. Once again, if people are going to see them, we need to be around other people. It might be easy to do good works if you just go shut yourself up in a monastery somewhere and read the Bible and pray all the time. It's easy to not get upset, to not get angry. Then you start getting around people, things get a little trickier, don't they? People, we can be challenging sometimes. But again, we need to be that candlestick that's not just planted somewhere, but that God can move where he needs. Does an empty room need a candlestick to light it up? No. The light is needed where people are. So we need to let God move you where he needs you so you can shine brightly, so you can shine most helpfully. We need to have love for people. Of course, John 13:35 tells us that it's the love of the brethren, first and foremost, the love of fellow believers, that will show the world that we are Christ's disciples. They'll recognize that's something different. But then we're supposed to go beyond that. Loving others, loving our enemies, all these sorts of things. That's another way we let our light shine. Being God's. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, if you would. Yes, of course, we're supposed to love the church, but it's not to stop there. Galatians 6:10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So we have a special obligation to believers because we have a special connection with them. Tonight we're having water baptism. But something distinct the Bible talks about is Holy Spirit baptism. At the moment, whether you knew it or not, at the moment you got saved, you were baptized. Remember, baptizo, it means to dip or immerse. You got baptized by the Spirit into the universal church, into the body of all believers. You were placed by the Holy Spirit into the body of all believers. But now we recognize that by water baptism in the local church. So we have an obligation to believers first, but then we have a love for all the world. Share that with everybody. We should be excited about the same things. We should rejoice and have joy. This is a joyous night. Everybody I told who asked what's going on in the church, I said we have baptism coming up. That's an exciting thing. Because we're so glad the Lord is working. We're so glad the Lord is touching lives. We're so glad that he's still saving and that people are trusting him and want to show that. So the good works we share in the church and then share with the world. But the purpose of that is that they may glorify our Father which is in heaven. And that's as we talk about these things, about being conspicuous, about being doing good works that others see them, that could raise the flag, well, that sounds prideful. That sounds like doing things for your own benefit. And we need to ensure in our life that that is not the goal. Rather, everything we do is according to God's will. Everything we do is so that people will see that God is behind it, that he gets the credit. I think of John the Baptist. He had a great, fruitful ministry. And his disciples got upset. They said, well, this Jesus came along. He's taking some of our disciples. What did John the Baptist say? He must increase. I must decrease. Doesn't that fly in the face of our human nature? Because we want to, even if we're doing good, we want everybody to know it, don't we? Christ must increase. I must decrease. Everything needs to be reflecting God. Paul in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, follow me, or it could be imitate me as I follow Christ. If we're setting ourselves up, it can only be insofar as that we are following after the Lord. That's a high calling, and it's a scary calling to set yourself up as that city on the hill. Set yourself up as that candlestick. Isn't it a little easier sometimes to live life in that corner where nobody's paying attention instead of holding yourself? Because, again, the light shines, but the flaws are visible too. So what a calling to us, if we're going to be that city on a hill, to live so there's no cause for rebuke. That nobody can rightly lay charges against us. That's hard. Pointing them to the Father. It's not about what we do. It's about him. That's baptism. It's not we're saying, man, these are just such great people. They are so fantastic. No, it's their testimony of what the Lord has done for them. And that's what it's all about. And that's why we believe the mode is so important, because it's about a picture, identifying with Christ and his death and the new life of his resurrection. And these things are important because Christ is the focus. We need to be identified with him so others see this and take note. So they're called to the same dedication and right living. So when we want others to glorify our Father which is in heaven, I'd say first, we want this to happen amongst unbelievers. We want unbelievers to see God's light so they recognize their own darkness. So they recognize their need. They recognize there is something different. The darker the surroundings are, the brighter the light shines. If I lit a candle in here like this room is, it wouldn't be a big deal. But I'm always amazed when we do a nighttime service, either Good Friday or Christmas Eve, and we've just got those little handheld candles, how much they light up when the room is dark. If the world gets darker, we should be shining all the brighter. We should be all the more distinct. We should be sharing the gospel at every opportunity, yes, but our life needs to back that up. We shouldn't start talking to somebody about Jesus and they're like, I had no idea that you would have had any religious inclination or anything. That's kind of a bad feeling, isn't it? That's what, when I got the call to be a pastor and people start knowing about that, you kind of hope they don't give a shocked face to that. They're like, you? Really? No, we want to live that life following the Lord so that people see that and then it falls in line then when we verbally share the gospel with them. If you identify with Christ, people are watching. People are keeping an eye. People will notice. So we don't want to be something that turns them off of the gospel. We want to be the light that draws them ever more to Christ and towards salvation. But we also want to be that light amongst believers so they'll glorify the Father as well. We want to be a light so that other believers are challenged and encouraged to do the same. As I said, there's a temptation even as believers, yeah, I'm saved, I'm a light, but I'd sooner just kind of shrink back here. I'd sooner kind of just sputter and go in the shadows here. We want to be a bright light so it maybe reveals to them, you know what, I've gotten a little dull. You know what, I'm not shining, I'm not living for the Lord as I ought. Once again, not so that we show that we're just some kind of super saint, but that they'll glorify God, that they'll recognize, Father, I'm not where I ought to be in my walk with you. Please get me right. So we want to encourage them to do better, but also there's a lot of believers out there who are discouraged, who are downtrodden. We want to live in courageous joy and share it with them so that they can find the same joy in the Lord. So as we go out, do these things, share our light, we need to constantly seek God's glory and not our own. As Christ said, not my will, but thy will be done. And as people see our good works, as people shine the light and they comment on it, we need to make sure we send the praise where it belongs. I think of Daniel. Different times in front of the most powerful men in the world, they say, I hear you've got a great gift. I hear you can do great things. And he says, no, but my God can. And that's who's doing all these things through me. That needs to be our outlook and attitude. So we need to do good. We need to glorify God because our ultimate goal then at the end of our life, when we stand before the Lord, we want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And maybe we want to see some other people who we've shown our light to be able to hear the same thing. That's our goal in life. The light, it's not us. It only comes from the Lord. And it's his to use as he wants. The likeness, like Christ, like that candlestick going where it's needed. And ultimately, it's about the Lord, that others will see him, that others will come to know him in saving faith, that believers will be encouraged. Salvation is a personal matter in that nobody else can do it for you. It's a decision you make between you and the Lord. It's a personal matter, but it's not to be a private matter. It's not something that you keep secret. It's something that should be on display. One outward demonstration of this is we're going to observe as believers' baptism, but it shouldn't stop there. We've got a lifelong command to do good by imitating the Lord and to put ourselves out there so that others may see it. We need to go where he tells us. We need to do what he says, and we need to give all glory to him. So, friend, as I close, I ask you, first and foremost, are you still in darkness? Are you still under bondage of sin? Is there a time in your life where you recognize your sin and your helplessness, but you heard that Jesus lived a perfect life and died and rose again, and you confessed your sin and put all faith in him and asked for forgiveness? If you've never done that, you're still in sin. You're still in darkness. You're still in need, but he still offers today. He wants to save you and give you his light. Are you following the Lord in obedience? Baptism is a step of obedience, to follow what the Lord commands, going where he sends. Are you hiding under your basket, just trying to get by? Are you willing to step up onto the candlestick and be God's light into the world, wherever he puts you? What good things is he calling you to today? Will you do it not for your glory, but for his? As you look at your life, if you're honest, are you going to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? If there's any doubt of that, friend, the Lord's left you here. There's still time to serve him, that we can be rewarded when we meet our Lord. I'm going to close in prayer. But this time, for our six who are undergoing baptism, I invite you to head to the back, and you can start preparing yourselves, and then we'll have prayer, and the rest of us will meet you back there very shortly. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, Lord. We thank you for the life of Christ, that you gave us a very visible sign of what a life lived for you looks like, a life of good works. Lord, help us to always remember that we are no good in ourselves, that of our own self we're darkness, that we need you. And Lord, if there's anybody here who has never trusted you as Savior, I pray that you would speak to them, that they would recognize their need, and that they would trust Christ today. But Lord, for us as believers, please encourage us. Please give us wisdom of how we can be light for you. If we're tempted to shrink back and into the shadows, please help us to see the candlestick you want to set us on and be willing to go there. Be willing to shine the light, to do good works, to have love first for our brothers and sisters in the church, but then, Lord, help us shine that light into the whole world. Please show us areas where we're dim, where there's flaws, Lord, that we could shine more for you, and help us to do all these things to your honor and glory. Please guide and direct in all this, Lord. We love you. We ask all these favors in Jesus' name. Amen. So in a moment, I'm going to dismiss you all.